Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Thank you very much, Brian. Well, his divisive presidency shook America's pillars of democracy, but Donald Trump has launched his 2024 White House bid, addressing supporters at his Florida estate, Mar-a-Lago. Here is just some of what he had to say.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. America's comeback starts right now. In 4 short years, everybody was doing great. All of the incoming administration, and all they had to do was just sit back and watch. Under our leadership, we were a great and glorious nation, but now we are a nation in decline. Now we have a president who falls asleep at global conferences. But we are here tonight to declare that it does not have to be this way.
He's back, if he ever went away. I'm joined on the line by Leslie Vinjamuri, head of the United States and America's program at Chatham House in London, and Greg Swenson from Republicans Overseas. And thank you both for joining us. Leslie, to you first. I mean, we had expected that this would happen. It was predicted to happen before the midterms, throughout the vote. And finally, we got the news today. What's your reaction to the announcement?
We did expect it. I think many people, including many people in Donald Trump's own party, were hoping that it would be delayed at least until after the Georgia runoff for that final Senate seat on December 6th. I think that what's the most interesting thing about this is not so much that he announced, we knew he probably would, but it was a bit of a thud. You know, the media have, Rupert Murdoch's major stations, the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, Fox, have all sort of turned on the president. At one point, sort of Fox peeled away their coverage of it. And so I think the question here is, you know, what will his own party do? Will they manage to push back against a candidate that many people want to see a challenger to, simply because Donald Trump hasn't managed to deliver the goods, right? The midterm elections didn't go nearly as well as they should have for the Republican Party, and they went especially bad for many of the candidates that the former president put his backing behind.
And even by American presidential contest standards, this is a very early announcement. What do you think the strategy is there?
It's very early. I think it's partly intended to, you know, head off potential challengers for this nomination. Trump and Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, who DeSantis did very, very well in his election, winning by 19%, is seen as a strong potential challenger for that nomination. I think, you know, Donald Trump is making a calculation that by getting himself out there first, that he can do what he's done, you know, for many, many years, which is to change the conversation, dominate the headlines, and quite frankly, intimidate others from putting their name forward. I suspect that he won't win on this. And I think the second thing, of course, that many people are pointing to is that, you know, this is a president who's under investigation, multiple avenues, and probably would like to see some of that headed off as well.
So, Greg, do you think Republicans want Donald Trump to run in the 2024 election as their candidate?
Well, a lot. I agree with Leslie on just about everything she said. I think the support for President Trump is a lot less than it was 2 years ago or even 1 year ago. And, you know, prior to the Mar-a-Lago raid in the summer, the gap between Trump and Ron DeSantis, for example, had narrowed to +9. Now, of course, after the raid, it went to +39. Came back down to 25 before the midterms. But as you've seen in the polls after the midterms last week, you know, the head-to-head matchups have DeSantis up 7 to 10 points, depending on the state. So, you know, I think a lot has changed. So, yeah, is there support for President Trump? Definitely. But it's a lot less significant than it was a year ago when he was still, you know, still had a great majority of Republicans supporting him personally as opposed to the party. That's actually flipped, and only 30% now are supporting him, while the greater majority is supporting the party.
Mm-hmm. And a lot has changed, of course, even since the midterm elections. Do you hold him responsible for the Republican result?
Well, he surely didn't help. I mean, there's some blame to go around. There's other factors. I don't think the Republicans executed well. They didn't really communicate well and about their vision. But surely the president had something to do with that. And as Leslie pointed out, you know, the candidates that he endorsed and or some that he even helped select did not do well. And, you know, I think that's the liability of President Trump right now. The people might agree with his policies and his outcomes. And I think a lot of what he said last night was true. But, you know, you have to win elections. And he's become sort of an electoral liability. And remember when he beat when he won in 2016, you know, he was only winning a third of the primary votes because the other, you know, ex-Trump votes were split by at one point 14 candidates. But even if it's down to four or five, you know, that could happen again. But also when he beat, you know, when he won in 2016, he beat a very flawed candidate in Hillary Clinton. So, you know, I think any number of people could have beat Mrs. Clinton. So, you know, it's a different time now. And I think the party is probably ready to move on. You know, you're seeing a lot of the big donors as well as the big media that Leslie mentioned in Rupert Murdoch, you know, fade on the president. And, you know, that's because of his electoral liabilities more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And who do you think will be the candidate then? Ron DeSantis, of course, as Leslie mentioned, and his support for him has grown after the midterms. Do you think he's the one?
Well, he is the one for now. It's still early. It's 2 years away. And again, I think it depends. You know, there are other candidates that I like. I really like Ron DeSantis. I also like Mike Pompeo and Glenn Youngkin and Kristi Noem. But I think you have to also expect that if you get too many candidates running, they will split the non-Trump vote, and Trump could easily win the primaries because of that. But if it's head-to-head, Ron DeSantis and Trump, I'm very confident that Ron could win.
That's an interesting prospect, Leslie, isn't it? That you would have a split in if a number of people try to run against him for that nomination.
Absolutely, and it's certainly possible if it's a split that Donald Trump comes out on top. And, you know, the problem here, of course, is that Donald Trump is going to struggle in a very big way if he's the candidate that gets all the way to a general election. That's a long time out. You know, a week has been a very long time in U.S. politics. Certainly the last week has. But the other thing I think, you know, worth drawing out on the back of what Greg said, which I fully agree, is that the states where Donald Trump's candidates did especially poorly are the states that matter the most when it comes to a presidential election. It's the battleground states. And, you know, with about one exception, the governors that were really Trump loyalists, that were election deniers, those candidates lost. The secretaries of state, those who would, you know, set the terms for how voting is conducted in 2024, that were election deniers, Donald Trump backed in battleground states, they lost. And so that is an especially bad sign, right? It's not just a sort of, you know, what happens in all 50 states. We know that in U.S. elections, it's really a certain number of states that tend to matter a lot. So, you know, I think as Republicans are looking at this, they might be thinking, you know, will Ron DeSantis do better? Will Glenn Youngkin do better? Who will do better? Mm-hmm. But getting through the primaries is really a very high hurdle.
Do you think, Leslie, that this early announcement puts any pressure on the Democrats to respond?
I think that, you know, President Biden has said that he will make an announcement only in January. I do think that this is likely to increase President Biden's decision and that he's likely to put his name forward as a result of this.
Do you think?
But they will be weighing this up. They will be weighing this up. Yes, because I think that the Democrats' view right now would be that Biden is the strongest candidate to defeat Donald Trump. Now, whether that's true is something that many people will have their hands on that data, trying to game this out, trying to talk to the president. But remember that the Democrats have come through this with the strongest midterm results for a sitting party in 20 years. So that is, you know, something that whatever one might think, you know, it's about President Biden's approval ratings, which have been low, and about his age, which has been a considerable factor, although it's a considerable factor for Donald Trump as well. The facts on the ground are likely to lead the Democratic Party to think that the wisest course at this point in time is for President Biden to put his name forward.
All right. Well, fascinating times ahead. Leslie Vinjamuri and Greg Swenson, thank you for joining us. Some news reaching us from our colleague Alva Keneally in the newsroom. Independent experts have been appointed to engage with survivors of historical abuse at schools and institutions run by the Spiritan Congregation, formerly known as the Holy Ghost Fathers. At a press conference this morning, the congregation has also offered an apology to all victims, survivors. And we'll have more on that before the end of the programme.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.